Good morning to see everybody this morning. Praise God. Let's just worship Him for a minute today. Thank you, God. You are so good. God, we praise You this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can be seated. We are excited for Summer Fun Fest. It's one of our biggest events we put on every year. We're excited for a lot of things. We're excited for the food and obviously the fun outside. But we're also excited to meet new people. If you're a guest, we are glad you are worshiping with us today. We're glad you're joining with us in service and hopefully sticking around for some food and fun. I know there might be some neighbors, some people that are in this community here. Welcome. We're great. So happy to see you again. Maybe there's some old friends, some people that we haven't seen in a while. It's great to see you again. And also, we have our satellite churches from Waterloo, DeForest, Janesville, and also our Voces Unidas, our bilingual Spanish-speaking service, and our African International Ministry service. All those churches are in today and around the grounds. Give yourselves a hand. Welcome, everybody. Let me tell you a little bit about who we are here at Calvary Gospel Church. We're just us, our satellite churches, our Voces Unidas, African Internationals. We're just a community of people that are just desiring to know God, to grow in Him, and to help other people to know Him in a powerful way as well. And you'll find today we look to the Bible, which is God's Word, to know what God thinks of us and how we should believe and to follow Him. Furthermore, it's not just this idea of, oh, there's this Bible and there's that, but we actually believe that God is active today. The Bible is not just a story that we read that's kind of cool and there's some neat wisdom in it and, you know, the Proverbs, but also the truths of the Bible are active today and it's powerful. And the promises in the Bible are for us today as well. And we believe that God wants to join with us for good. So once again, welcome. We're so happy you're here. We're glad to worship with you this morning. We're glad to worship God together. I like to use that phrase because too often we say, like, I'll worship God at home. Right? You can worship God at home and you can do things together, but we come to church to worship God together. There's something cool about that, something fun. Let you know you're not alone. There's some hope in all that. If this is your first time and you had a mailer that you received, don't forget either on the way in or on the way out. If you're attending because a mailer was sent to you and you have that mailer, please see us at the special table in the lobby to get your free gift. Because we want to, once again, just want to show you how excited we are to have you here. So let me tell you what's going to happen today. A little bit of the service schedule and the schedule for the day. We're going to worship together. There's going to be some more music. Just, you know, I would encourage you, worship how you're comfortable. Because with God, God says, he's calling everybody to follow Him and to come to Him. And He says, come as you are in your moment. If you're comfortable standing and raising your hands or clapping, do that. If you're comfortable sitting, do that. But the mindset of, I want to be closer to God. That's kind of why we're here, to draw closer. That is why we're here, sorry, to draw closer to God. So we're going to have worship. There's going to be a little message. I'm going to be sharing a little message on hope. We're going to talk about unreasonable hope today. And then we're going to go outside for food and fun. And so we have a map here. When you go out after service, you'll walk right out these doors in the back. And then there's four doors out the back. And you can kind of see here, there's the two big orange parking areas. You'll walk between them and you see the two purple areas for serving, where it says serving. And you work your way right in there. We have burgers, brats, hot dogs, chips, watermelon. We have a roasting corn station where they've been roasting corn. And they'll have a whole like thing for you to do with that corn. It's really cool. They do this up in DeForest at our 238 church. So go find the side table for that. There's snow cones that'll be available at the pavilion, which is a little area, if you can read the little words there, next to Spike Ball. And then also, when it comes to the food, if you are a guest or you are someone that is elderly or you have some accessibility needs, go ahead and find the front of the line. We just want to welcome you to find the head of that line, and we'll have people out there making sure you find your way to the front of the line. And then outside of food, we have a DJ in the tent. We have bounce houses. We have a sand mountain for the kids. Kids, let me tell you something. In that sand mountain, there's little gems, there's coins, there's fossils. Go dig and have fun. Parents, I'm sorry in advance. I got four little ones. My car is going to be full of sand. I get it. But let me tell you, it is always so much fun for the kids. We also have basketball, volleyball, spike ball, cornhole, and football. Not the foosball. Like, we have soccer football out there. I encourage you to go find and play some football. So that's where we're at. We're just excited to have you here worshiping with us today. And if you wouldn't mind, if you'd stand, we just like to begin our services in prayer. I personally like to begin a service in prayer and just say, you know what, God, yes, I'm here to be closer to you, but the things of this week and the things of today and maybe the things of next week and the things of tomorrow, they can be a distraction for me. God, I just want to take a moment and focus on you this morning. Can we do that? And let's just pray that God has his way and speak to us this morning. Thank you, God, for this day. Thank you, Father, for being here, for loving us, that your presence is in this service. God, Lord, I pray, Lord, that the things of yesterday and the things of tomorrow, God, that we will just be able to set them aside, Lord, and focus on you and what you might be speaking to us in this service. God, Lord, I pray a blessing over the food this afternoon, God, that you would be there and there would be great fun. And God, we give you the glory for what you are doing in this service. In Jesus' name, amen. Worship with us this morning.
For your mercy never fails me. All my days have been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been Amen.
Praise God. You could be seated this morning. I want to reiterate that if this is your first time or if it's been a while, we are so happy to have you worshiping with us today and about to go out and have fun with us today. We are so excited to have you here. You know, sometimes, you know, you come, I've been to a lot of different churches, a lot of different denominations, a lot of different ways people do things. And I know sometimes people come in and they're like, that was a little different. You know, there's people raising their hands and maybe clapping, maybe speaking out loud. And I'll tell you, I said at the beginning, we so much believe God's word. And we see in Psalms and in David, and we see the stories where Psalms talking about, shout unto God. Clap your hands, O ye people. And he says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. It says, praise him on the stringed instruments and on the organs and on the drums and the cymbals. You know, David's like, if it can make music, I want to praise God with it. And then there's another verse, actually, it's really cool. There's a song my kids and I like to sing. It says that if we don't worship him, the rocks will worship him. Like, it's just like he is so good and worthy to be praised that something's going to worship him. It might as well be us. And so you're going to see people that are, everybody's worshiping God from their heart in the way that they feel. So if it's a little different for you, I encourage you, just try out worshiping God, what your heart says in the moment, and just focus on him, and he'll have a great way in your life. I also want to I want to share that our regular service times every week are Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. We have our Bible study and Sunday school at 10 a.m. And then 11 a.m. is the service. So at 10 a.m. there's Sunday school for kids of all ages and also for the adults. And 11 a.m. is the main service. And then we also have service on Wednesday nights. It's a little more relaxed, more of a Bible study. But we have Wednesday nights, 7 p.m. And we'd love to have you back. We welcome you back to come to another service and just experience God and worship with us together. This morning, I want to talk about the idea of hope. I've been working in the construction industry for many years, and I have a picture of a meme on my desk, and it shows like this wasteland that's on fire, and the meme says, hope is not a good plan. Hope is not a good plan. And the reason I have that is because in my line of work, in my industry, you don't just show up to work and say, well, I'm just going to hope everything's going to be ready. And you get there and you'll be like, well, where are the nails? And where is the wood? And how come the person in front of me didn't put the concrete down? Right? We should have this plan. Hope is not a good plan in my industry. There's a couple interesting quotes. There's a Chinese proverb. It says, he who has hope has everything. General James Mattis from the United States Marine Corps says, hope is not a strategy. A woman named Barbara Kingsolver, who's an author and a novelist, she said this, very interesting. She said, the very least thing you can do in your life is figure out what you hope for. And the most you can do in life is live, sorry, the most you can do is live inside that hope. Not admire it from a distance, but live right in it, under its roof. The least thing you can do is find something to hope for. The best thing you can do is live according to that hope. This morning, I want to, it won't be a long message, but I want to talk on this idea of unreasonable hope. Unreasonable hope. And I want to start with this story in the Bible of a man named Abraham. It's one of the earlier stories we see in the Bible. His name starts out as Abram. And God meets him in Genesis 12, verse 1 through 4, and says, and the Lord said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. That's pretty cool. You're not just going to be blessed, but you're also going to be a blessing to others. I will bless the people who bless you, and I will curse the people who treat you with contempt, and all the families on the earth will be blessed through you. This is pretty cool. What a promise. If someone told me that now, I'd be like, wow, that's pretty cool. I got four kids. We're ready to go. Let's do this. But Abraham was 75 years old, and he had no kids. It's him and his wife, Sarah. No kids, 75 years old, and God makes this promise to him. So in Genesis 15, I think we can all relate. You know, I like to read the Bible and find how I might relate or align with what's in the story, put myself in the story. I can relate to Abram in Genesis 15 because he's like, you know, this is a great promise. You know, I don't want to turn it down. It's a great, just this little thing. We're kind of old. And we don't have any kids. And God doubles down. He says in verse 5, he takes him outside. He's like, oh, you're kind of old and you don't have any kids. Okay, look up into the sky and count the stars. If you can, this is God kind of flexing a little bit, I think. If you can, that's how many descendants you'll have. We were driving yesterday and the kids are like, oh, we want a movie in the van. I'm like, no movies today. What are we going to do? I said, count the corn. And Jack, my son, he's 7. We get about 10 minutes down. He's like, Dad, I counted the corn. It's like 1,390,203. He counted the corn. That's obedience. I like that. But God's flexing. He says, look up into the sky and count the stars if you can. That's how many descendants you're going to have. And it says in verse 6, this is interesting. After Abram says, you know, God, we're kind of old. I don't know if this is going to work out. Verse 6, Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord counted it to him as righteousness. He counted him as righteous because of his faith. And the Lord told him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldees to give you this land of your possession. Because remember, the first thing God did is says, I've got a promise for you, but you got to leave where you're at. It's going to be a little different. It's going to be a little uncomfortable. Trust me when you leave. And now God's reminding him, hey, I brought you out, and everything's been good. I brought you out of that area where you were, and I brought you into a new area, and it might have been a little uncomfortable, but I was with you during that time. And Abraham's like, yeah, I guess you were. That does make sense. You've been with me these last three chapters, or however many years. In chapter 17, but in that verse, in verse 6, when it says he believed, Abraham didn't just say, yeah, you know, God, that makes sense. I'm good with that. Abraham acted as though the promises were already true. He stepped out in faith to the land God promised. He knew it would be different. He's like, well, this is going to be different, but I'm going to keep trusting God. And so when it says that Abraham believed, it didn't just say, you know, I believe it. But he actually went out into the land. His actions showed his belief. Genesis 17, we see where God then renews his covenant with Abram. Abraham is 99 years old. 99. Now, what would we say he was? He was 75 years old. Sarah is 89 years old. Okay? And God says in Genesis 17, 16, right before that, he says, serve me faithfully, and I will make sure you have countless descendants. It's been like 24 years. And Abraham's still walking with God. And in verse 16, he says, I will bless your wife, Sarah, and give you a son from her, and she will be the mother of many nations. And this is where they laugh. Abraham and Sarah, yes, they're following God, but it's still a little comical. God, you said this at 75. That was a stretch. It's a little bit unreasonable to think that a 75-year-old and a 65-year-old are going to have a baby, but it's a lot unreasonable for a 99-year-old and an 89-year-old to have a baby. And so they laugh. And I think sometimes we look at these stories and be like, oh, they laughed. It's like, I would have laughed too. Like, if I'm in that story, I would have laughed too. We don't need to go into much detail, folks. It's really cool that all the kids are here, right? We don't need to go into a lot of detail for us to find some humor in this ourselves, right? Right? And while they have a promise from God, there doesn't seem to be a hope that this could ever happen. Physically, biologically, mathematically, whatever. There is no hope that a 99 and an 89-year-old are going to have a baby. And then in Genesis 21, Sarah gives birth to Isaac. She is 90 years old. He is 100 years old. 25 years after God gives them the promise that they're going to be the father and mother of many nations, and their descendants are going to be as countless as the stars in the sky and the sand in the on the beach. 25 years later, and the rest is history, because then Isaac gives birth to Jacob, and Jacob has his name changed to Israel, and Israel has 12 sons, and this is the beginning of the children in the family of God. And from there, that's the whole Bible. This is where the story goes from Adam to Noah to Abraham, and you just start seeing it spread. And you see this family of God that are following God. I can't believe that the Bible is just some neat story. I can't believe that. Because if it's truly God's word, then it exists to speak into my life now, today. To give me wisdom and counsel and guidance, to give me direction. And so we read in the New Testament, the second half of the Bible, in Romans, that's a letter that Paul, one of the apostles, he writes to the church in Rome, in chapter 4, verse 18, and he's telling the story of Abraham. He's trying to tell them, hey, look, let me tell you about this guy, Abraham. He said, even when there was no reason for hope, even when hope was unreasonable, Abraham kept hoping, believing that he would become the father of many nations, for God had said to him, this is how many descendants you will have. Even when there was no hope, even when hope was unreasonable, Abraham kept hoping. There's another version that says, against all hope, he hoped. And we start to see this theme as Paul retells it with familiar words. We see the first thought in this story is that Abraham had hope. Even in the midst of a situation that seemed likely like there was no hope, when physically, biologically, mathematically, scientifically, there should be no hope, that it would be unreasonable to have hope, Abraham had hope. Today I read this story and I think we can get jealous. I think we can get jealous because in our time it's a little different. Abraham was just chilling by himself in the desert. There wasn't a lot of people on the earth. In our times, mortgage rates have doubled in the last few years. Young families are spending over 30% of their income to buy a new home on a monthly basis. Fertility rates in America have dropped to 1.6 children per woman. 84% of Gen Z and 71% of millennials say that economic uncertainty, which includes inflation, job instability, and debt, affects their decision to have children. Most families are feeling the need and pressure to have dual incomes just to keep up with the cost of living, bringing stress and feelings of complete overwhelming. There's wars between Russia and Ukraine and Israel and Iran, and China's at the doorstep of Taiwan. This year has brought record-breaking heat waves, wildfires, droughts, and superstorms. Even nature feels hopeless at times. we're in Wisconsin in the middle of summer, and we're seeing like weird orangish, grayish, yellowish skies because of the Canadian wildfires. And it doesn't matter what president or leader a country has either. There's constant pressure of all the negative stories we see. And that's, you know, the doom scrolling too doesn't help anything. And I think because of what we see, and because it's so easy to see it with social media and with the internet and everything, because of all this, I think it's difficult for people to resonate with the idea of hope. I think it's easier to just stay busy working, entertaining, and scrolling. No matter what we try to turn to or to try, hope seems so far off. Hope seems unreasonable. It seems unreasonable given everything that's around us at this time. Yes, I'm not 99 years old and my wife's not 89 years old and there's this, God's promised us to be the father of many nations and we don't have children yet. But at the same time, we're living in this world where it just feels like whatever situation you're in, it's like hope seems unreasonable at this point. I'm just going to keep on. I'm just going to work my way through it. And like Abraham, it can seem like you're living against all hope, like hope is lost, like everything you try is not bringing hope, like even expecting that there might be hope is unreasonable. And so I have to ask the question to myself, and I have to share the question with you, where does hope come from? Because we see that Abraham had it, so it exists. And I believe God's word is true, so it exists. Even when there was no reason to hope, even when hope was unreasonable, Abraham had hope. And so when I read this story, I'm like, well, hold on. If he had hope, that's what I want. How do I get that? So let's go through another verse then. Remember in Genesis, we see, Genesis and Romans, we see that Abraham believed God. He had faith and he acted on it. Remember it said that Abraham believed God and it counted to him as being righteous? Paul reiterates that in Romans 4:20. It says, Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger, and in this he brought glory to God. He was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises, and because of Abraham's faith, God counted him as righteousness. We see Abraham's faith, we see his belief, we see his trust in God's promise. We don't just see words. We see his actions that supported and proved his belief. There's a different verse that Paul mentions in Romans. Romans 15, verse 13. And it says this. You're going to see a formula here. It says, I pray that the God. Now, this is Paul saying a prayer over the people in Rome. Okay? I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace. Why? Because you trust in him. Are we seeing the similarities and the parallels with Abraham? I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now we're seeing the formula here. We see that God is both the object of our hope and the source of our hope. He's the thing we hope in, and he's the thing that brings us hope. It's where hope comes from. But then also in this verse, it says, he will fill you completely with joy and peace. Boy, we're just talking about hope. These are just side benefits, apparently. Joy and peace because what? You trust in him. More specifically, believing in him, trusting and following his way. So what it's saying is we have joy and we have peace when we trust in God. We have joy and we have peace when we follow God's way of doing it. I can imagine Abraham up here teaching this same message. He's like, yeah, man, when I left that land, it was difficult. But little by little, I started realizing, man, I have joy and peace in my life because I'm following God's way. And God said, hey, Abraham, could you work your way maybe this way a little bit? I'm like, yeah, I'll go that way, God. I'll go that way. And it's like, this is really good. I'm feeling joy and peace when I follow God's way of doing things. We see this connection between trusting God, following his way, and hope. Hope isn't some magical thing that just shows up. Hope comes because we're trusting in God. Remember how I said there's that general that said hope is not a strategy? And I said that I have that sign that says hope is not a good plan. How many people have ever heard of this guy named Vince Lombardi? Yeah, these guys have. They know who he is. He said this. He said, hope is not a strategy, but faith and belief in hard work is a strategy. And it's in that faith and belief in hard work that we have hope, because it comes from God. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems to be right, that appears to be right, but in the end it leads to death. Another version says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end of that way is death. We see the difference between our way of thinking and God's way of thinking. Abraham having to leave his way. Remember, he had to leave what he knew, his way of doing it. My way, God, this is what I want to do. And we find ourselves in that situation, but I keep finding myself in this place where just hope doesn't, it's not there. And it seems unreasonable. And so the way that I'm choosing is leading to no hope. It's leading to this situation that I'm in where I'm like, I don't feel hope in here. And God is saying something different. If this is your first time coming to a church, or if you haven't been here in a while, I know it can be intimidating. Look at all these people who seem comfortable putting their hands in the air or clapping or saying amen while somebody's preaching. That's good. I'm not against that. I'm saying, like, it could be intimidating to see this. Who don't feel completely out of place sitting here. But let me tell you something about this church. This church family has people from all backgrounds. People have tried things their way. People who were once in financial turmoil. People who were bound by addiction. People who have marriage struggles. And that's just me. That's just me. There are people in this church who have had financial turmoil, addictions, marriage struggles. People who have been in prison. People who have had generational trauma. And none of these ways of life brought hope. And we see later in the Bible that Jesus shows up on the scene. And what does he say? Thomas says to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going. So how can we know the way? I can relate to that. God, you've called us out. You're saying try a different way. And I'm like, well, what's the different way, God? And in verse 6, Jesus answers and says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus now calls himself the way. And so if we're tying these verses together, we know that God is the source of hope. And when we trust in him and we trust in his way, it brings joy and peace. He calls people, when he starts on earth, he calls people to follow him. He says, follow me, know me, learn from me, do what I do, and I will give you life, and I will give you life more abundantly. That sounds like hope. That sounds like hope, but it comes by following God. It comes by trusting in God's way of doing things. It comes by leaving our way and saying, you know what? My way's not working for me. It keeps ending me in this hopeless situation. And it's so hopeless that it's even unreasonable to have hope. And he says, I will give you life and life more abundantly. But I don't believe he's just saying, hey, there's going to be this golden city in the sky and you're going to be there. It's more than just eternal life, but it's a great and abundant life here on earth in spite of all those things that are going on. That's how we can have hope in spite of all the craziness that exists in this world. That's why that even when it is unreasonable to have hope, we can hope. We see in the book of Acts that the people that, you know, Jesus dies and he's raised from the dead and he goes up into heaven and everybody's like, we follow Jesus. You know what they called them? Yeah, at some point they call them Christians, but they called them followers of the way. Followers of the way. Paul reaffirms this idea in Colossians. He says, Colossians 1:27, it says, to them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery. Hope is not a mystery, folks. This mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Jesus is our hope. Following his way of doing things is our hope. Trying his way is our hope. And we read the rest of that Romans 15:13 verse. It says, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you're following his way. And I love this end. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's like this cycle. And the end of the cycle brings unreasonable hope. It brings unreasonable hope. It's not reasonable I should have this hope, but I have it. Given everything that I have, it's unreasonable to have hope, but I have an unreasonable hope. A hope that says, God is for me. Who can be against me? A hope that says, God's promises for me are good. And following God's way, though, is a little bit different. I feel like I have to put this caveat out there. It's a little bit different. It's not always popular. It doesn't always make sense. It says things like, love your enemies. That doesn't fit within Instagram. But following God brings us hope. An unreasonable hope. A hope that we can't explain. Because hope comes from him. So I see this as a cycle. I see this cycle, and you can pop into this cycle wherever you want. But we trust God. We try him out. We try following his ways. That's a hoping in God. Trusting in God brings joy and peace. I've said before, we learn to trust God by trusting in God. And then we live life God's way with joy and peace. And because we do that, we have hope for the future. It's almost like you learned through time that, just like Abraham was like, well, I tested God out here. And that worked in this moment. And so now when this next moment comes, there's hope in my life because I tried God's way and it worked. And then you take another step and another step and another step, and there's joy and peace in your life. And now I'm filled with this unreasonable hope, this idea that regardless of what's going on in this world, I have a God. And because of that, I have hope. Let's stand this morning. I don't know where you're at. I don't know where you're at in your walk with God or your faith journey. But I do know that out there, there's no hope. I know that out in my way of doing things, there's no hope. But I know that if I follow God's way, there's hope. Praise God. I just want to close this service in prayer. And then we'll welcome you out to the food and the fun. But I just want to close this service in prayer and maybe just take a thought for a moment or two about what God's speaking to you. Maybe go back and read a couple of these verses if you're struggling with hope. There's a Bible app. You can find a Bible. You can Google it. ChatGPT will give you the verse. ChatGPT, give me the verse on hope in Romans that Peter talked about. See if it finds it. But look it up and meditate on it. God, I want some of this hope. And I see in your word, it's not just some magical thing that shows up, but it's hope that comes from trusting in you. And maybe today you're going to take that step to say, God, I'm willing to take a step and trust you today. I'm willing to be like Abraham and leave my way of doing things. I'm willing to be like Abraham and in the face of things not seeming to make sense and in the face of unreasonable hope, no reason to hope, that I'm going to step out and trust God. And I believe that if you will trust God, he will come through for you. So let's pray this morning. Thank you, God, for this day. Thank you, Father, for being here in this place. God, Lord, I just so appreciate the hope that we have in you. God, Lord, I appreciate, Lord, that you are the source of our hope and the object of our hope, God. Lord, I thank you for the joy and peace that comes from following you, God. God, Lord, and I pray, Lord, that as every single person's here, God, just like Paul prayed, God, I pray that they find that joy and peace will follow them, that joy and peace will be with them as they put their trust in you. God, Lord, I pray, Lord, that they would taste and see that you are good, like David the psalmist said. God, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would break down any barriers that keep us, Lord, from just trying you out today. God, I pray, Lord, that your blessings would go to these people and these families, and that you would start to show them hope, God, Lord, as they follow and trust in you. God, we give you the glory and the honor for what you're doing today and every day. And we thank you so much in Jesus' name. Praise God. There is food outside. We've prayed a couple times. The food's been blessed. Like I said, if you are elderly or if you are a guest or maybe you haven't been here in a while or if you have some accessibility needs, please work your way to the front of the line. The food will be getting ready right as we go. God bless you. Have a great day. Enjoy all the festivities and time today. God bless.